This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's Tuesday, the 27th of June. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, David Gale. Here's Richard with the news.
An Australian Navy sailor has died during a maritime patrol operation. The sailor was deployed under Operation Resolute, which conducts patrols in Australian waters and around offshore territories. The Department of Defence says the cause of death is not yet known. A woman in her 40s and a horse have died after a fall at Bendigo Racecourse this morning. The horse was euthanised by a vet due to its injuries while paramedics attended to the woman but were unable to save her. Marriage equality could be a reality sooner than expected if a plan by Liberal backbenchers proves successful. Fairfax Media is reporting that the Liberals will cross the floor to vote with Labor in a conscience vote and that it could happen as early as August. Victoria has won $1.4 billion in federal transport funding. The money will be used to revamp the Ballarat and Gippsland lines, with the Andrews government tipping in $150 million. Turmoil in the Greens Party has ramped up again today, with Greens Senator Lee Rhiannon alleging that she is the victim of bullying and harassment. It's understood that federal Greens politicians may be set to expel Senator Rhiannon from the parliamentary party. Greens MPs are said to be angered by Senator Rhiannon's objections to the Prime Minister's Gonski education funding, which was negotiated through the Senate by the Greens. And a record number of nearly 47,000 same-sex couples have been counted in the 2016 census. The number of male and female same-sex couples is roughly equal, but female couples are five times as likely to have children. Melbourne's weather remaining cloudy with an overnight low of 7 tonight. Tomorrow, a possible shower and 14. In Melbourne now, it's 11 degrees. I'm Richard Foster. The next Joy update at 7.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
I'm David Gale, your host on tonight's Informer.
And I'm Tess Binns. On tonight's show, we'll speak to Matthew Guy, State Opposition Leader of Victoria.
And later on, we'll be talking to the HIV Foundation of Queensland.
But first, we're going to talk to Victorian Greens Senator Janet Rice about a recent dinner where a hardline Sunni preacher, Mustapha Sarakibi, well known for his belief that homosexuality is a sin punishable under Sharia law, was a guest of Robert Di Natale and Senator Rice.
Welcome, Senator Janet Rice.
Good evening.
Sorry to keep you waiting there. It's great to have you on the line tonight. Look, you know, we've just set the scene. You recently had a dinner, which was a dinner for during the Ramadan festival, and you invited a particular hardline Sunni preacher. Is there anything behind that? Because, you know, you could have asked a more moderate leader to come to that dinner.
Well, I mean, the dinner was a iftar dinner, so it was one of the dinners that are held when Muslims break the fast during the month of Ramadan, and this was one that was hosted by Richard Di Natale. So I had Richard speaking. Sheikh Sarakibi was speaking there as the National Secretary of the Board of Imams of Victoria. I mean, I've seen a bit of media coverage about the criticism of, mm-hmm. of us and of Sheikh Sarakibi, largely about the two things that he's been criticised are as that he's a supporter of Sharia law and that he signed a petition opposing anti-terror laws. And I suppose it's the question of whether, you know, as a supporter of what being a supporter of Sharia law means, which means different things to different Muslims. But essentially, you know, Richard and myself and other Greens members had met Sheikh Sorokhibi in his role with the Board of Imams, and we've been working closely with the Board of Imams and the Islamic Council of Victoria over the last year and supporting the Muslim community in the wake of the attacks and the racism and the Islamophobia that's been thrown at them, particularly by Pauline Hanson and One Nation.
Senator, is it any different to inviting Margaret Court to a party fundraiser?
Look, I'm interested to know what examples that you have of Sheikh Sorokhibi having been prominently anti-homosexual, because that's not my understanding of what he has been prominent and has been on the public record of. There's a whole range of different views in the Muslim community about their views towards the LGBTI community. For example, one of the other iftar dinners that I attended was with the Muslims for Progressive Values, who, you know, say that, you know, they are advocating for the values which further human rights, including egalitarianism, freedom of expression, freedom of and from religion, women's rights and LGBT rights. So, you know, there is a range of different values, and just like in, you know, across the religious community, we've got the Catholic Church and the Sydney Anglicans, who are very strongly anti-homosexuality. There's the diversity of view within the Muslim community.
Look, just moving on to another thought at the moment. How well do you know Christopher Pine?
I'm not that well, but gosh, you know, isn't it interesting looking at what's going on in the Liberal Party at the moment?
Now, I know that you're the spokesperson for marriage equality and certainly other things from the Greens, and you must be just sitting there going, what on earth is going on? I mean, it's
absolutely
all about the Liberal Liberals, I suppose, and the Conservative Liberals.
I just wish they would get their act together. And look, it seems that sort of the balance is slightly shifting, and that maybe, you know, Malcolm Turnbull might be able to break free from the clutches of the dinosaurs of the right wing of his party. But, you know, it all seems to be a pretty butty mess at the moment. So we just sort of sit back and have to wait. Come on, get on with it.
Look, yeah, I know basically that you're waiting in the Senate.
Exactly. I know that there are a number of Liberals both in the Senate and in the House of Representatives who are on the verge of crossing the floor. What I don't know is whether we're going to achieve marriage equality through them crossing the floor for legislation that would be cross-party legislation, or whether Turnbull is actually going to be able to break free of the shackles of the dinosaurs and say, right, you know, in the interests of the majority of Australians and the majority of the of parliamentarians and the human rights for everybody in the community, we are going to allow equal marriage, that the other way that it occurs, or they are just going to tie themselves in knots. It's going to be a massive electoral disadvantage for them. They're going to lose the next election, and then we will have marriage equality,
yeah,
you know, on
Janet,
know, day one of the next election. Next,
we know, Janet, that there's talk about the next election possibly being as early as August next year, but this will be a millstone around the Conservatives' heads if
absolutely
they actually don't do something about it.
That's right, and that's why their current position, which, you know, Turnbull once again was backed into the corner of having to say, and Christopher Pine has having to say, oh, you know, our position is in favour of a plebiscite. They know that that's so untenable as a platform to be taken into the next election. There's no way that they can go into the next election sort of with that as their policy, because they know how electorally unpopular that is, where we've got 2/3 of the Australian community who support marriage equality, and we know that that's in fact reflected in the Parliament. That if it wasn't for the fact that the Liberal Party have got this position of binding all of their members to be voting against marriage equality, if those parliamentarians had a free vote, we would have marriage equality. You know, we could have it tomorrow.
We could have it tomorrow. Thank you, Janet, for spending the time with us on The Informer tonight.
Thanks very much.
Earlier, I had a chance to catch up with Matthew Guy, the state opposition leader here in Victoria, and this is what he had to say. So, Matthew, can you tell us, Margaret Court, Sandringham Party, Liberal Party fundraiser last Thursday, what's the story about it?
Well, before Margaret Court had made some remarks about the LGBTI community and same-sex marriage, she had been invited to a private function for that party branch, and that was obviously their choice to have her along. Now, I don't agree with her points of view, far from it, but my view is that, well, if someone has a different point of view, then I guess it's in a private forum, then it's interesting, or maybe for some of the people there, it's interesting to hear her point of view, and then they might not agree with it, or they might agree with it, but it's up to them to hear an alternative point of view.
Look, as state opposition leader, I think many people might have expected you to say, look, Sandringham, pull your finger out, don't have her, put somebody else on, that sort of thing. Is that under your control?
Well, no, it's not. But let me put it this way. If I had someone on who, or that branch, for instance, had someone to come and speak to them who was in favour of same-sex marriage, and the church had said, Matthew Guy, intervene, we don't agree with it, pull the speaker, most people would say, you know, that's an unreasonable request. My view is that if it's in a private forum where she's been invited, or anyone's been invited to give their point of view, and, you know, there's plenty of my branches that have had people who have speak to them or come and see them who are have different points of view on same-sex marriage, then you'd allow them to do so. I mean, I think in Australia, one of the fundamental rights we have is around freedom of speech, and irrespective of whether we agree with someone or not, and I don't agree with Margaret Court's views, you know, people have a right to express it.
So do you think Margaret Court would have attracted more people and therefore more fundraising?
Oh, look, I think that's kind of questionable. I think they had a set amount that they can get in, and as far as I'm aware, that it was just a regular function where they've had a number of guest speakers. But I'll just say again...
So you weren't there?
No, I wasn't there at all. But again, I'd say when I might not agree, and I don't agree with her point of view on this topic, but, you know, there's a range of points of view out there, and people are certainly in Australia entitled to express them in a reasonable way.
Just as the protesters did outside from Equal Love. Look, the Liberal Party has certainly been trying to reach out more to the gay community in Victoria, but in December last, your party started to vote down some bills. I mean, we thought the Liberal Party was becoming quite progressive here in Victoria. You voted down a couple of bills. Why would that be?
Well, every bill we'll assess on a range of reasons, and, you know, whether there's been proper consultation or whether we think the government's engaged all of the community. You know, I don't think that particularly GLBTIQ issues should be seen as a wedge in community. I mean, I think we've got a good chance on a range of issues to bring everyone together, because I think at the end of the day, this is about, you know, these issues are about love, they're about respect, and I think that should be a way we unite Australians behind these issues. It's why I'm in favour of same-sex marriage, for instance. But, obviously, we do have a difference in parts of our community, and we have to educate and take people with them. I mean, if we try and use a stick to berate others who don't agree with us, then it's going to be harder and it is going to be a fight. My view is that while there are differences in points of view, we've got to educate, we've got to take people with us. And I think nowadays that can be done. And that's why I say on a range of these bills, I was disappointed the government seems to want to use these issues in this community as a wedge rather than seeking to bring people with us. Because, as I said, I've got three sons myself, and I always think to myself, well, you know, there's a chance, obviously, that one of those, maybe all of them, who knows, might end up as gay kids. Well, I want to make sure that I do everything I can to put in place a better Victoria for those kids too. And so, you know, but that means we have to educate a lot of people to get them to the point of view that they accept it, that they realise it, that they realise, you know, this is normal, this is mainstream, and we have to educate them, not be belligerent to them.
Yeah. Look, the problem is I think the public would see that backtracking on your sort of progressive policies, and therefore, you know, I don't know whether you're going to lose support because of that, but what does the Liberal Party want to achieve for Victoria's LGBTI community?
Well, I want them to be safe. I want them to live in a Victoria that's respectful, and I want them to be a part of our state as any other citizen. I don't want them to feel any different to any other citizen. I want them, every Victorian, to feel feel and be the same. I want every Victorian to understand they've got the same rights under law and that they've got the same protections as everyone else. You know, when it comes to things like protection and anti-bullying programs in schools, I want to make sure that every single GLBTIQ child is looked after and has not a scrap of bullying toward them.
The interesting thing, actually, Matthew, is that you've actually seen those policies introduced by the current state government as well, which, you know, I mean, you've got to say, well, we are certainly leading as a progressive state in Victoria.
Yeah, well, I understand that they talk about progressive and progressive and progressive. Well, you know, I lead a centre-right political party that believes that we engage everyone and bring everyone up to a certain level of respect and education, but I don't believe that you enact community change through forcing people to accept. I think, you know, you have to educate them and show them the way, and that's up to leadership. That's up to us to do that. And so, you know, my argument would be that in a lot of instances that hasn't been done by the government, that they've used these issues as a political wedge, and I think that's really disappointing.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, I can't resist. Have you been talking with Christopher Pyne over the last couple of days?
Actually, I was with Chris Pyne at Liberal Party Federal Council. So yes, I have been, and I like Chris Pyne. He's someone I've dealt with quite a bit in the past.
He certainly is a character. You didn't happen to be up in Sydney at the time that he was in one of those bars in Star Casino.
Well, I was in Sydney at the time at the Federal Council with him, but no, I wasn't at the same dinner.
Okay, look, it is the Informer. I'm looking for a scoop. That's all. I just thought maybe it had. If you'd been there, I would have loved to have known. But you know, what do you think? He's talking about really progressive liberals actually moving forward. You know, certainly the not the conservatives, but his liberal sort of side of the Liberal Party moving in a particular direction. Do you think he's going to get away with what he's talking about?
Well, you know, the one thing about the Liberal Party is it's had long-time progressive, or I guess small liberal, and a conservative wing to it. That's how the party was founded. It was founded that, and it was it's always been that way for a long time. Now, there's always issues in the Liberal Party, as I guess there is in every other political party, about whether you're at this one point in time more of one side or the other. I would just say that the Liberal Party, my party, has room for both sides of that, both conservative and smaller liberals. You know, it's amazing how people kind of pigeonhole you, and some views they would say I'm more liberal and some views they'd say I'm more conservative. At the end of the day, I just believe in having a respectful and sensible debate on these issues. I like Chris Pyne. I agree with him on this issue, and I think that's, you know, that's something that I think is up to us to educate all in our party and see if they'll come across to our point of view.
Okay, well, we've been talking on The Informer to Matthew Guy, State Opposition Leader of Victoria. Some people say Matthew who, but Matthew Guy, thank you so much for talking with us on The Informer tonight.
No worries at all. Thanks a lot.
Okay, we just want to mention at the moment that we do have a language warning for this next segment. So please, if you have any children, make sure they're out of the room at the moment. This is all to do with the Real Conversations of Grinders. So this is a language warning and also a trigger warning. If you do find this distressing in any way, please call Q Helpline or also Lifeline.
Grindr and other online dating apps unfortunately provide a breeding ground for people to use anonymity as a cover to commit discrimination and stigmatise. For people living with HIV, the stigma can often be more damaging than the virus. Yet so much of it comes from a lack of understanding and knowledge. This is why we all have a role to play in educating ourselves and others about the facts. Let's listen to the latest campaign from the HIV Foundation of Queensland.
Hey, sexy.
Hi. Wanna meet?
I'm up for some fun.
Let's play house.
Sorry, what? I'll be the door
and you can slam me on.
Want a butt?
Pick?
Nice face. It'd look better with my cum on it.
Are you clean?
Oh, gosh.
I'm pos, but undetectable.
Nah, I'm out. Can't risk it.
Why? Are you?
Fuck no. I'm clean.
You're vile. That's fucked up, you slag.
What the fuck's wrong with you? Why are you on here with your disease?
Yuck. Oh, I don't want to say that.
You should be ashamed. You're a walking disease.
You're a disgrace.
You vile piece of shit.
Go and spread your disease with some other poor fucker.
Go fuck yourself.
Wow.
Blocking, go fuck yourself. Because no one else will.
Wow, that hurts.
That's fucked up.
I felt like a shit person for saying that.
Is that a real conversation?
Can't be.
That's horrible.
It was hard to say that stuff.
Shook up. It's hatred, isn't it? It's just a hate conversation. But that, you know, there needs to be more education.
I'm here to start the conversation.
Start the conversation. Start the conversation.
I'm here to start the conversation.
Stop the stigma.
In order to start that conversation, tonight on The Informer, we're joined by Chris Howard and Jimmy Lemoir from the HIV Foundation of Queensland. Good evening, Jimmy and Chris.
Hello.
Hello, Dean. We're actually from Queensland Positive People, so we collaborated with the HIV Foundation on this particular project.
Great to have you on the line tonight. We've just been listening to the campaign. It is very, very powerful. That's why we wanted to play it in its entirety as it is. Where did the idea come from?
So the idea essentially came from Mean Tweets with by Jimmy Kimmel, something else that had previously been done. And the marketing firm Y&R in Brisbane suggested this as a strategy to address the issue of HIV stigma on online dating apps, where the stigma was largely invisible to a lot of people in the community except to those people living with HIV.
Chris, what's been the response so far?
Look, the response has been overwhelming to the this particular campaign. From the campaign's been shared nationally. It's been stimulated quite a lot of conversation, which is what it was intended to do, was to shine the light on stigma, and particularly where it occurs most for gay men on apps such as Grindr.
Yeah, it's an interesting format of stigma, because we have actually talked about stigma on previous programs on The Informer, but this is sort of like an anonymous stigma, isn't it?
That's correct. So these particular conversations, what we wanted to do was, as I said, shine a light on these real conversations that occur on Grindr. And we did send an expression out to community to ask for people to provide us with screenshots of conversations that they'd had on Grindr. So we invited people through Facebook and other websites to help inform this particular project. So we had an overwhelming response for the number of conversations that were provided to us to utilise for the campaign.
There's been some interest overseas. What can you tell us about that?
Look, I'm not completely aware of all the interest from overseas. I'd have to consult further with the foundation.
Well, it's gone a little bit viral, hasn't it?
Oh yes, it has. It's been exceptionally popular. I think that the feedback that I've received from a number of people has been, and a number of other organisations, is that it's probably one of the most effective campaigns that people have seen in recent times to address stigma, HIV and stigma in particular. So it's quite an innovative and quite a new approach.
And there are some quite detrimental effects of the sort of the discrimination and the HIV stigma on people online, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely, Dean. So, you know, I must say that of all the conversations that we had, we exercised a significant duty of care to ensure that the conversations that we shared were not detrimental, more than what they potentially could be, were not detrimental to participants. That is, of people that were reading the actual script. And also to PLHIV. But I will also say there are a significant number of conversations we just could not share because of the true vitriolic and vile nature. And we were very cognizant of the triggers for individuals, particularly people living with HIV, around mental health, suicide and assault that they may have experienced. So we just wanted to say that there was a very careful balancing act in how we convey this particular campaign to ensure the safety of both participants, but also PLHOV as well.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, it's very hard to monitor those conversations. And, you know, you would have received people volunteering those sorts of conversations that they've received and felt discriminated against. Because I suppose in the end, you know, going through an app is a little bit like shopping in the supermarket. And when you see the goods are a little bit dirty, not as in the HIV sense, but as in people that are perhaps a little bit homophobic or they might be discriminating themselves, they're less likely to be the goods that are chosen. So if I said in my profile, I don't want any Asians, femmes or fatties or something like that, suddenly to everybody else that's on that dating app, they're going to see that I'm a little bit discriminatory, and therefore I'm dirty goods, and I'm not really the sorts of things that people want to buy. But when it comes down to the conversations, it's sort of entering on a much more intimate level, isn't it?
Well, that's true, and I think the way that these conversations play out is initially the conversation is very warm, it's very friendly, essentially it's all about a pickup. But the minute someone discloses their HIV status, it's very interesting to see how radically the conversation turns to, one of attack and one of highlighting the difference, I suppose, between a HIV negative and a HIV positive person. And one of the things that I do want to highlight through these conversations is what was very evident was the person who was the victim or the stigma, the person living with HIV, were actually the educators. They were the people that did not respond in such vile or vitriolic or disrespectful ways, but really sought to educate, the people that were attempting or were attempting to pick them up. So I think, that everyone has a role to play here. And certainly, as a person living with HIV, I was incredibly proud of my fellow peers in the role that they played to help inform and educate the broader community, particularly through Grindr.
Look, it is a powerful message. And what we'll do is we'll be doing a podcast after this show, and we'll certainly put a link to the actual video so that people can actually see it for themselves, because it is extraordinarily powerful. And as I said, that's why we wanted to play it in its entirety. That's why we had the language warning, obviously. And, it's great talking to you tonight. Please click on our podcast link after the show so that you do see this campaign, because it's well worth seeing. And thank you too to Chris and Jimmy tonight.
Thank you very much, Dean. Now,
just before we go, I just want to acknowledge that we've received a membership from Edward Paul Felix. He's from Seddon, and he's also included a donation of $100. Thank you so much, Edward. It's fantastic because you keep us on air and we can bring messages such as, and programs such as The Informer to air. And also Madeline. Madeline's from Eltham, and she's also renewed or taken out a new membership. She says, thank you for everything you do. You're an amazing station. I love listening for years just because of Joy's community spirit. And I love listening now as a parent of two rainbow kids. She's also included a $100 donation. There's great prizes to be won, but please keep on renewing your membership. If you haven't done it, you've got till June 30th, which is Friday, of course. That's it for another episode of The Informer. We'll be back tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. to bring you the day's big news. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform.
We'd like to thank tonight's guests, Senator Janet Rice, Matthew Guy, Chris Howard and Jimmy Lemoyne. And we'd like to thank our extended Informer team for putting together tonight's show, especially Dean for panelling for us on such short notice. My name's Tess Binns. What is my name?
It's Tess Binns, and I'm David Gale. There's more Informer tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Coming up next on Joy 94.9 is the Worldwide Wave team, straight after the news.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.